Proverbs chapter number 12. We'll start reading with verse number 15. The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he that hearkeneth unto counsel is wise. A fool's wrath is presently known, but a prudent man covereth shame. He that speaketh truth sheweth forth righteousness, but a false witness deceit. There is that speaketh like piercings of a sword, but the tongue of the wise is health. The lip of truth shall be established forever, but a lying tongue is but for a moment. Let's stop right there. We're studying the book of Proverbs. We're in chapter number 12. We've learned all the way through now all these things that God's trying to teach us. We're trying to have wisdom, which is looking at life from God's point of view, looking at God from His point of view, for us to look at ourselves from God's point of view, and to look at others from God's point of view. Our wisdom says, you sin, you're not worthy to talk to God. God's wisdom says, you sin, He's washed it away, and He loves you. Heaven's your home, you're His child, and you have the right to talk to Him. All right? So we have the right to follow His counsel. We have a right to be guided by Him. We have a right as children to follow His word. So He's given us the book of Proverbs, which teaches you and I how to apply day by day simple little truths. Now, since probably chapter number 10, so far, chapter 11, chapter 12, has all been a verse by verse simple application of how to handle everyday situations on a regular basis, how to apply those to our lives. So let's pray, and then we'll let God guide us as we learn from Proverbs chapter number 12 tonight. Father, thank you now for tonight. We ask, Holy Spirit, that you'd meet with us. Teach us your will and your way. Teach us to follow your truth, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Verse 15 tonight, the way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he that hearkeneth unto counsel is wise. A foolish person, we learned a long time ago in our study, is a person who's unpleated. It's like having a pair of pants you get, or a skirt that has no pleats in it, has no lines in it, has no creases in it, has no guidelines in it. A foolish person is one who is unpleated, or like this, let me put it this way, has no direction, has no guide to what he's doing or where he's going. He's just going his own way. What he thinks is good, that's what he's going to do. I see that in our children as they were little. They would say, well, I don't see why this is bad for me. I don't see why this would hurt me. And yet they didn't have the knowledge and experience that my wife and I had. And so they didn't understand it. And it would have been foolish for them to follow their own direction. So notice here now, the way of a fool is right in his own eyes. So that's exactly what we've learned. A fool's going to do what he thinks is right. Listen, it's never right to do what you think is right. It's never right for me to do what I think is right. I must do what God teaches me is right. That's what wisdom is all about. Looking at life from God's perspective, looking at myself the way that God looks at me. Wisdom says, come to God. Foolishness says, don't come to Him because you made Him mad. When I was little, I'd make my parents mad. I didn't want to go face them. I didn't want to get a spanking. But I didn't always get a spanking for doing wrong. Sometimes I did wrong and I'd go to my parents and they wouldn't say anything about it. They knew what I had done. Other times they disciplined me quickly for what I had done. Whatever needed to be done, that's what they did. As they felt that they should be guided as trying to be wise parents in the counsel of the world. But God teaches us to be wise in His counsel. In fact, look at the next statement in verse 15. One is one side, remember? And this the other side of that same statement. But he that hearkeneth unto counsel is wise. What's that word counsel mean? It comes from the word, the Greek, the Hebrew word that means a plan, a purpose. And I found that to be interesting because one of our 10 words that we learned at the very beginning, it means a plan. Discretion. You remember that word discretion? It means a plan. That means the power or right to decide or act according to one's own judgment, freedom of judgment or choice. I'm going to define this again, and it's this. It's to apply what we know from the right, to do right or wrong, deciding the right actions to take, learning from God's wisdom. We're free to make the judgment or choices that we see that God gives us as we learn them from God. So, a wise man seeketh, he that hearkens unto counsel is wise. Who's our greatest counselor? Well, another name for the Holy Spirit is counselor, isn't it? Another name for Jesus is counselor, isn't it? Jesus is our counselor. So I need to go to the Word of God and follow the counsel that God gives me. And you need to follow the counsel that God gives you. It's not bad to go to somebody else for guidance. As long as they're seeking wisdom from God and not seeking the world's wisdom. Seeking God's desires and not our own. So it's interesting to me that we see that word applied in a different format. So the things that we've learned in the past now are coming to light here on a daily basis. So so what am I supposed to do? I'm supposed to be careful. The way of a fool is right in his own eyes. So I don't want to go my own way. I want to follow counsel. And who's my counselor? Jesus. Another name for Jesus is counselor, as we mentioned moments ago. And so I can get much further. Because then it shows my wisdom. It shows me I'm a wise man. A fool's wrath is presently known. Opposite to that, but a prudent man covereth shame. When a fool gets mad, boy, he storms about, throws a fit, everybody knows it. Now what's that mean? Remember, a fool? Someone that's unpleaded. Someone that has no guidance. Someone's doing what they think that should be done. So I'm going to throw a fit. Ever seen a child in the middle of a grocery store get on the floor and throw pitch a fit? Oh my goodness, oh my goodness. I told my children when they're little, don't ever do that because when you got home, you wouldn't want to live with the ramifications of your actions. Oh my goodness, we should never throw a fit like that. And yet a fool, when he gets angry, everybody knows it because we just pitch a fit. Amen? We say things we shouldn't say. We do things we shouldn't do. We behave in ways that we shouldn't behave. Why? Because we got mad. When you get mad, you don't have to tell everybody everything. It's, and by the way, the Bible says, get angry and sin not. It's okay to get upset about things. God gets upset about things. But we don't have to blab to everybody everything that's going on. Notice what it says in the second half of that verse. But a prudent man cover his shame. A prudent man. What's that word prudent mean? That word prudent means wise in practical matters. The word prudent means wise in practical matters. Careful about one's conduct. That's what it means. If you were to look that up in a dictionary, you'd find that same definition as we find in the Word of God here tonight. Wise in practical matters. Now, whose wisdom is he following? The wisdom of the world or the wisdom of God? No, if he's a wise man, he's following God's counsel. In fact, that kind of works in conjunction with verse number 15 then, doesn't it? In both verses, we see a wise man versus a foolish man. When our kids are little, we teach them the song, a wise man build his house upon a rock. The foolish man built his house upon the sand. Oh, the storms came and blew the house away. Why? Because it was on the wrong foundation. Oh, we teach our children that. But we need it as adults and teenagers and children as well to know the difference between being foolish and being wise. Wise isn't just being smart. Wise means someone who's following the counsel of God. Alright? So, the prudent man, wise in practical matters and careful about one's behavior, covereth his shame. Sometimes we behave shamelessly, or shamefully, I should say, when we're angry, don't we? So a wise man, he gets angry, he's just going to cover that up. In other words, he's not going to expose that to everybody. Like I said, it's okay at times to get upset. But we don't have to act the fool when we get upset. Alright? Verse 17, 18, 19, and 20. All speak of the same subject. He that speaketh truth showeth forth righteousness, but a false witness deceit. There is that speaketh like the piercings of a sword, but the tongue of the wise is health. The lip of truth shall be established forever, but a lying tongue is but for a moment. All three of these verses are talking about how to speak. Speaking. Well, the verses before that was about how to behave with anger, referring also to speaking, wasn't it? So we see here God's teaching us how to talk. The proper way for us to behave ourselves verbally. He that speaketh truth showeth forth righteousness. So we ought to speak the truth. But we ought to behave ourselves even as we speak the truth. We ought to be kind and compassionate as we speak the truth. It's one thing to look at somebody and say, if you die today, you know for sure you're going to heaven. Or are you not sure? Are you afraid you might go to hell? Or to say to someone, you know, the wages of sin is death. That death is speaking about a second death of hell. And if you don't receive Christ as your Savior, the Bible says you have to go to hell. It's one way to speak to somebody. It's another thing to look at somebody and say, you know, you're on your way to hell because you don't have Jesus as your Savior. That's not very wise. Both of them are truth. Both of them are truth. But we have to learn how to provide the truth wisely. Amen. Provide the truth wisely to people. So, he that speaketh truth showeth forth righteousness, but a false witness deceit. So, we have righteousness versus deceit, truth versus a lie, a false witness, and it all has to do with how we speak. Same with the verse 18, he that speaketh like the piercing of a sword, but the tongue of the wise is health. So there is that speaketh like the piercing of a sword. It's not talking about truth or a lie now, is it? It's talking about speaking in such a way that we harm others. It may be truth, as I said moments ago. And we can say it in such a way that it hurts someone. Or we can speak it in love and compassion and understanding in such a way that it doesn't hurt someone. But it brings health. I can look at someone and say, all sinners are going to hell. You can't do anything about it. Hell's where you're going and you're on your way to hell. And people do that. And it chases people away from Christianity because then they don't want to. It's piercing. That's hurtful. That you just slice them. The Word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword. It's powerful. And it can sting. Then there's a way to say, hell is real. And I don't want you to go there. And God doesn't want you to go there. And you don't want to go there, so God provided a way that you don't have to go there. Same truth. Same truth. One's piercing, and the other one's not. There are sometimes we have to say some things that pierce. Because that's the only way you can get through the callousness that our lives have built around us. But most of what we do, we're supposed to say in kindness. We need to be wise when we speak. Wise speaking brings health. The Word of God is wise. Sometimes the Word of God cuts us and slices us up. Other times it's used like a scalpel to cut out that which is destructive to us so that we can heal. Amen? I believe God considers speaking and the way we speak, the use of our tongue is very important because it is like a sword and we can destroy somebody with it or we can help somebody with it. Verse 19, the lip of truth shall be established forever, but a lying tongue is but a moment. Sometimes we lie so much, people forget what they lied the first time, so they have to make up another lie to cover the first lie because they forgot what the first lie was. What was that last lie I told? Man, well, I forgot what it was. So now I need to tell a different lie. The lip of truth shall be established. not just for a little while, but forever. And a lie, it gets established too. But it's just for a short moment. It's there for a moment and then vanishes away. And many times we get caught in that lie. No, I didn't break that. No, I didn't go there. No, I didn't behave that way. No, I didn't do that. Look in verse number 20. Deceit is in the heart of them that imagine evil. Remember, evil is sin with a desire to hurt someone. Okay? Deceit is in the heart of them that imagine evil, but to the counselor of peace is joy. But to the counselors of peace is joy. I don't know about you, I would rather have joy than evil. So how do I affect that? Well, it has to do with who my counselor is. Where am I getting my material from? Deceit's in the heart of them that imagine evil. Okay, so both of them establish from the heart. One is deceit, and the other is counsel. My counselor is Jesus. Where do I get that counsel from? The Word of God. Where do I get that from on a daily basis, moment by moment, step by step, situation by situation basis? By the Book of Wisdom, the Book of Proverbs. It teaches me how to live moment by moment. These are all simple things that happen in everybody's life all the time. Don't we always talk? Well, then there's a way to talk and a way not to talk. Don't we always have to decide whether or not we're going to do what we want to do, whether or what God wants us to do? We just learned that in verse number 16, didn't we? And verse number 15 as well. So, I want peace. I want joy when it comes to my relationship with God. And that'll spread to man. That doesn't mean there's going to be peace in the world. There's not going to be peace in this world for a very long time. But that doesn't mean I can't live in peace with those around me, and most of all with my God. The more I deceive or lie, the less peace I have. Why? Because I'm sowing things for evil reasons. Alright? Verse 21, there shall no evil happen to the just, but the wicked shall be filled with mischief. Again, we see the evil here. There shall no evil happen to the just. What's evil? That's actions, sin, with the intent of hurting someone. If I'm living justly, I'm not going to do that. Is that right? There shall no evil happen to the just, but the wicked shall be filled with mischief. The more wicked I live my life, doesn't mean not saved or unsaved. We can still be wicked. And mischief is going to befall me. Notice again, God goes back to speaking in verse 22 and 23. Lying lips are an abomination to the Lord, but he that dealeth truly are his delight. The prudent man concealeth knowledge, but the heart of the fools proclaim foolishness. Again, we see God's concerned about how we present ourselves in speech. That's our strongest ability to deceive. And hurt. And slander. The tongue's a wicked thing. We can't control it. So since I can't control it, and you can't control it, and to think that we can control it is foolishness on our side, then we must go to God and ask Him how to control our tongue. And again, we see more ways to control our tongue. Verse number 24, the hand of the diligent shall bear rule, but the slothful shall be under tribute. So, when we're diligently, when we work hard, when we do that which is right, keep going, and we'll end up to bear rule. One day, all the righteous are going to come back with Jesus, and we're going to rule here on this physical earth, aren't we? But the slothful, that means lazy. We've seen this before in the book of Proverbs where God has talked about this kind of behavior. The diligent versus the slothful. It's funny. When you have somebody who's diligently doing something and they don't quite achieve exactly where they want to be, although they achieve that more often than those who are slothful, you don't really see them angry about it. But it's amazing how slothful, lazy, good-for-nothing people get so mad because they can't have what everybody else has when it all has to do with your fault. You don't want to get a job. You didn't want to stay in school. You didn't want to work hard in school. You didn't want to study. You didn't want to read. You didn't want to work hard at your job. So you ended up getting fired. Don't crawl and whine and complain to everybody else because you can't do something with your life. It's your fault. So we need to be diligent. Behavior makes a difference. Amen? We need to work hard. Whatever thy hand findeth to do, do with all thy might, the Bible says. So we need to do. We need to be diligent at everything we do. Verse 25, heaviness in the heart of man maketh it stoop, but a good word maketh it glad. Listen, you want to encourage somebody? Learn to speak well. Amen here. But a good word, again, maketh it glad. So listen, it's funny how often two people can look at the same thing and come from two different directions. One can be happy in the midst of trials and tribulations and difficulties, and one can be sad. Why? Because there is a weight that comes with difficulties. Amen. The heart, the heaviness in the heart. It's not wrong to have a heavy heart, and it maketh us stoop. But how can we encourage somebody? But how we speak, but a good word maketh it glad. So I want happiness in my life. Amen. I want encouragement in my life. I want to be an encourager, not a discourager. The slothful man roasteth not that which he took in the hunt, in hunting. But the substance of the diligent man is precious. Again, we see the slothful versus the diligent. And here's a simple application of working in the field. You go out, you went out in the field. He went hunting. Well, the slothful man doesn't want to go over and get his kill and then take care of it and bring it in to be cooked. He just leaves it laying in the field. Where the diligent person goes hunting and then sticks with everything that needs to be done so he can bring it in, feed his family. There's a lot of things that are involved. You got to bleed it. You got to skin it. You got to let it. Pull it up. I learned a lot of things from my wife's grandpa when it came to animals after they're dead, and how you got to hang them up, and how you got to bleed them out, how you got to skin them, how you got to be careful when you butcher them, how you got to get all the entrails, as they call them, out, and how to clean it out well so you don't get anything exposed into the meat that shouldn't be there. Oh, he taught me so many things. And there's work involved. But it's worth it. Working hard is worth it if we'll go through. And then verse 28, the way of the righteous is life, and in the pathway thereof is no death. We're talking about eternal life. The way of the righteous is life. That's eternal life that's being referred to here. And in the pathway thereof is no death. There is no death to that which is righteous. One day you may hear these words, Doug Marco passed away overnight. Doug Marco passed away the other day. I may have passed away, but I passed off this earth. I'm not dying. I'm going to live forever. There's a song we taught our children, I'm going to live forever. Years ago, we used to sing that with our kids all the time. And that's the truth. My life's never going to end. I'm going to live forever. And once you have Jesus Christ as your Savior, your life's never going to end. So we need to get the gospel message out to as many people as possible. Righteousness ought to be a part of our life. The way of righteousness is life. So the way of righteousness, we need to get the gospel message out to everybody. Don't be afraid to proclaim the gospel message. Listen, I remember when I first got saved and I started proclaiming the gospel message. Sometimes I messed it up and I didn't do very well at it. Other times I did, halfway decent at it. And sometimes I made people just plumb mad. But I'd rather have given them the words of life, to allow the Holy Spirit to use those words of life to try to help them. Now many, many years later, over 35 years later, still giving out the gospel message in such a way that people can receive Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. And heaven can become their home. What a wonderful way to live. Because I'm not going to see death. And I keep taking dead men, jabbing them with a living sword, the Word of God. And they jump up from dead bodies into a living life. living eternal life that'll last forever and ever. So we need to give out the gospel message everywhere we go. Father, thank you for that.